This episode powered by our friends at Strive Labs and the Strive Hub platform, the all-in-one customer relationship management platform built for health and wellness, providing intelligent solutions for clinics and hospitals. Find them online at strivelabs.com.
This is the PT Pintcast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer. Bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pintcast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
Next episode of the PT Pintcast starts right now. Our guest today, born and raised in Shreveport, Louisiana, graduated in 1987 with a BS in physical therapy from LSU Health Sciences Center in Shreveport. She completed a Master's of Health in 96 and 06, earned a PhD in cellular biology and anatomy. Faculty at LSU since 1990, currently serving as an associate professor in the DPT program and chair of the Rehabilitation Sciences Department. Her service through her professional organization began as a student and has continued through today. Served as the State Government Affairs Chair, Louisiana Chapter President and Vice President, Chapter Delegate, and most recently elected as the APTA President. On the show again, making a return, APTA President Sharon Dunn. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jimmy. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah,
graduation week is always so sweet.
It's a weird week. You know, we were talking just before I hit record about my mom saying, "Are you pumped? You know, we're all coming to town. We're excited." And it's a little weird. You know, there's no classes here. I'm still in my apartment that I lived in school. I'm in the same spot, but I'm not doing the same things, which is going to school. I gotta go put a funny outfit on and walk across the stage this week.
And from your faculty's perspective, it's always fun to meet the parents after having spent 3 years with you all. Sometimes we wish we would have met the parents first. It would have been telling.
Right. Well, I am doing up. I went to the Brooklyn Summer Ale brewed in New York just to hopefully get some good weather for this weekend brewing up, because we're looking like rain on graduation. It's a good luck when there's rain on a wedding day. This probably means good luck on rain on graduation day, right?
Absolutely. Because now you're a rainmaker.
Now we're the rainmaker.
You're done paying tuition. Now you can go make it rain.
That sounds good. I like that. Well, we want to thank everybody out there for sharing everything on Twitter. You can follow us at PT Pintcast or check us out at ptpintcast.com. Want to thank you for taking some time out. I know you are you're probably busy all the time, but especially this time of year, you get asked to probably speak at a lot of graduations, I can imagine, at PT schools around the country.
I have been asked to speak at a few graduations, and I consider it a privilege and an honor. I was asked even to speak at another university the weekend of LSU's graduation, and I had to turn that one down because I want to be there for our LSU grads this year. 2016 is a phenomenal class. I know I can say that where LSU is concerned, and I'm sure your faculty feel the same about your class.
We're pumped. Yeah, I think the excitement's building, and I think we're really looking forward to it. But let's talk about some PT stuff from the mind of the woman in the Oval PT Clinic. So what do you think today's grads compared to 5, 10, 15 years, because you've been involved with physical therapy higher education for a while now. You've seen classes graduate and you've seen how things have changed. What are some of the strengths of today's grads that have evolved to where they are now?
Well, I think technology is one of the biggest areas of growth, and today's grads grew up in this age of technology and instant communication and ability to gather information but also send and communicate effectively. This group of graduates are used to having information at their fingertips, and I think that will bode well for your clinical practice and your patients, because you'll be able to use technology in your practice, but also in teaching and interacting with your patients.
I can speak to that firsthand. My last clinical rotation, I remember I forgot something. I just opened a new tab and I clicked away really quick, still paying attention to the patient, of course, but I wanted to have that information because I thought it was important, and I was able to get it quickly. So we are just used to that fast communication.
And I think patients are going to appreciate the use of technology as we begin to use it in patient care as a means to communicate with our patients when they're not right in front of a clinic. Patient engagement is a large part of healthcare reform, and looking to make sure patients understand our instruction and then are compliant. I think there'll be opportunities for us to use technology for better outcomes.
Yeah, especially in physical therapy, just some of the apps that I've used in the clinic, the best ones are the ones that aren't all encompassing and really complicated. They're the quick ones that make sure they're not a barrier between you and the patient. They're just something that supplements maybe your eye, maybe maybe you're using a camera you can slow something down with, or using a digital goniometer. So I think the more technology we have is good, but I think the things that rise to the top are the ones that don't really separate the PT from the actual patient.
I agree. And this year's Oxford debate is going to be a good one. It's teams made by Chris Powers and Shirley Sharman, and they're actually going to talk about technology in practice. And the debate is whether or not technology will help improve our physical therapy practice. I can't wait for that.
You know, my first next conference was a couple years ago in Charlotte, and I remember my professor, Sky Donovan, was saying, you guys got to make sure you come to the Oxford debate. And I remember as the rest of my classmates were going down, we're like, Oxford is like a place in England, and debate, I don't know, is that going to be too interesting? And she said, you need to see, Google a past Oxford debate. Trust me, it's all tongue-in-cheek, but there's a serious undertone, a serious topic being discussed. So I'm interested to see how that one's going to play out.
This one will be fun. There's a primer on APTA's website, and they're already going at each other. So it should be great fun.
It's like a weigh-in before a boxing match when there's just a little bit of smack talk going back and forth between boxers.
Yeah.
Going forward, we talked a little bit about how does somebody own their practice? I think now all of a sudden reality is setting in for myself and my classmates that, we're going out there to do the thing we've been talking about and learning about and being tested about for the last 3 years. How do we really start to own our own practice as we start our careers? You got to set it off on a good tone so you can continue it for the rest of your career.
That's a great question, Jimmy, because not everyone wants to be a private practice owner, if you will, but because you have earned your license and your opportunity to earn a living through the amount of school that you've gone to and the unique knowledge that you bring to society, you've earned the opportunity to own your practice, and it's related to reading the fine print. When you go into a practice environment and you're becoming credentialed to be able to bill third parties and the federal government, there's fine print on what you sign through that credentialing process that says that you have a right to know what's being billed and collected under your provider number.
Mm-hmm.
And then because you will have a provider number, you should know what is being collected under the provider number so that you know your value to that institution and that system. So that's one way that I see graduates coming out and learning about owning their practice. The other is your outcomes are essentially your clinical reputation. So using outcome tools to benchmark your own practice against your peers and to have continual improvement, because your clinical reputation begins as soon as you begin that first clinical practice. And those in the healthcare community and those in the payer community begin to recognize you by your practice patterns. So whether you're in a home health environment or you're in an acute care environment or in an outpatient private practice, owning your practice is owning how you bring your absolute best to every patient every day. And you begin to generate a reputation among colleagues, payers, and the patient community by how you do that every day. So I'm excited about this generation of practitioners that are coming out, because you're fully equipped with the right tools to deliver a high quality, high value practice. Doing that in the face of the pressures that you see in clinical practice is going to require perseverance and tenacity, but I've not seen this generation back down from a challenge.
Yeah, it's been mentioned before, you know, should a student PT who graduates open their own practice right out on day one, and people are very, very polarized in terms of giving advice. But I think you're right. This generation of physical therapists coming out, they're not afraid of that challenge. And a lot more of them are standing up and taking that challenge. And we'll see where that plays out for them. And hopefully it's good. But it's definitely something that wasn't there a number of years ago. And now that option is. And I think a lot of the students are taking it.
And I love to see that, because when you have a vested interest in quality of delivery and whether or not you can grow either your clinical reputation or a practice, it only makes the stakes higher. And you feel like you own your destiny. You got to wonder why people are hiring physical therapists as employees. It's because the business is profitable. If you have an employee/I'm taking a job mentality, then somebody gets to benefit from the 7 years of schooling you just finished.
Right.
But if you have a this is my practice, this is my profession, and I am beginning my career type mentality, then nobody can take that away from you.
One other conversation that came up on Twitter a while ago, and I wanted to get your take on it, was talking about burnout, how to prevent burnout. If you pick the wrong clinic or wrong environment, you can burn out. So the question was, for me, as I start, am I still going to love my profession in 30 years? And I hope so. And if so, what's one or two things that you'd suggest to a fresh PT graduating this year to make sure that we still love our profession in 30 years?
Don't forget why you became a physical therapist in the first place. And it may sound cliche, but you wanted to become a physical therapist ultimately because you saw the relationships that physical therapists had with their patients, and you saw something special in bringing an individual's quality of life back to them. And enjoy those moments. Get over your schedule, so that you can continue to invest in those quality relationships one person at a time. And I graduated in 87, so I'm almost 29 years a physical therapist, and those precious moments with patients are just as precious today as they were in my first internship. So you will never get over that really unique, wonderful part of being a physical therapist. The other thing is, make sure you take time to play and relax and take your vacation time when you have the opportunity, because everybody needs to be recharged, especially when you're pouring your life into others.
Yeah.
Don't stay in a practice environment where you're miserable, because there are so many opportunities in physical therapy across different specialty areas and different settings that you don't have to feel stuck in a miserable environment. You bring a positive approach to the environment every day, and if it's beating you down, you don't have to stay in an environment that's challenging you emotionally. So those are a few pieces of advice, and then just make sure you know what things in your life are very critical to your happiness. I call it juggling smart. So if you're juggling things, rubber balls and crystal balls, the crystal balls are the things in your life that you know you absolutely need to keep in the air. And for me, it's faith, family, and friends that take precedent over other things, the rubber balls in our lives that bounce if we drop one of them.
Right.
So you're prioritizing the things in your life that are so special to you. Without them, you would be broken, and keep those things in the air.
I like that analogy, because it really does let you know that you might be juggling 10 things, but if 3 are crystal balls, you do not and cannot let those ones drop. You can let some other things fall away. That's a good analogy, a good way to picture that there are a lot of things in your life, but there are a few precious things in your life to pay attention to.
A straight A on an exam, straight A's in grad school is definitely, for most of us, a rubber ball. I never had a patient ask me what my grade point average was.
I agree the same way. Just the other day, the episode that was released earlier this week with our chair, Sky Donovan, said in her experience, she found that a lot of times the solid B students wound up doing really, really well because they were interested in other things. They went out and researched different avenues of physical therapy, maybe not the things we were discussing in class. And she said a lot of times the B students were really, really good if they're not paying attention to making sure they get A's across the board.
I agree with Sky. And actually, the kind of student that does the best clinically are the ones who aren't necessarily worried about their point on an exam. They're worried about understanding the concept so that they can apply it clinically. Those are the ones. If they bomb a test, they're not really crying about bombing the test. They're concerned about not knowing the information because they're concerned about their future patients.
Right. So, how am I going to apply this to a real person one day in the future?
Yeah.
I liked hearing you say paying attention to vacation, because we got into a small debate on Twitter about that. I asked, how long should you wait after graduation before you start your first job? You know, should you give yourself a couple weeks? And some people chimed in and said you should just start right away. You should give yourself enough time to unpack the U-Haul, and that's it. And this being my second career, I kind of disagree with that. I saw where the person was coming from, but I disagreed with it in that, you know, we've been working pretty hard for the last 3 years, and now I'm going to change gears a little bit, and I kind of wanted to reset and get my mind straight. and do some fun stuff. You know, the next time I'll be able to take a trip and see my cousins across the country or go visit my my brother at the beach or something, it's going to be a while. And I wanted to get that kind of out of my system and be pumped to start working for my first job. I wanted to start off and be excited and be looking forward to it. So I like the fact that you were saying, make sure you take that vacation time and you get out there and play and make sure you know those crystal balls from those rubber balls. And one of them, the crystal balls, should be your mental health too.
Yeah, definitely. And that's so individualized. Some people are so tired of being in school and being debt burdened, and they can't wait to make that first real paycheck. But others are, that can wait because I need to take a mental break and recharge, walk through this threshold of a new chapter of my life, fully geared up and ready to go. So I really don't have any advice for the masses about that, but I would say listen to your heart and what your needs are. Yeah. And take your time.
I think that's a good way to look at it. It's super individual, you know. Somebody starting right away the day after classes end, if that's right for them, by all means, you know, swing for the fences and do that. For me, I'm gonna go visit some cousins. I'm gonna visit some friends at the beach for a little bit, and then I'm gonna hit the ground running. I am excited to start working. I'm not shying away from effort or work or, you know, getting down to the grindstone, but I also wouldn't mind having a little fun, too.
Right. I don't blame you. Nobody should judge you for wanting to have a little fun.
Right. All right. We're going
to
hit...
Life was not intended to be all work and no play.
I love that. I completely agree with that. Hitting the Twitter, we asked some people earlier. I figured it would be fitting to take a question from a student who's graduating this year on the Twitter twatter. John Huang, SPT from WashU in St. Louis, he wanted to ask you, what changes need to be made to best push the brand of PTs as movement experts? A lot of talk about it. And of course, I mentioned he's from WashU in St. Louis, Shirley Sarman, you know, movement system, movement experts. So what things, you know, do you think need to be done or are being done at the APTA to really continue on this path to being movement experts?
Well, the House passed a huge vision in 2013 that part of the vision was that we would be about optimizing movement to improve human experience. And one of the guiding principles of that that passed in the same year was related to our identity as movement experts. So we're just on the front end of describing the human movement system and coming up with the right taxonomy and language to talk about a human movement system, and that dialogue is picking up. And of course, there are some who aren't on the same page related to the human movement system, and I'm glad they're talking. I'm glad we're having a professional discourse about what the identity of physical therapy is. But if we look at what binds us all together, whether you're a neuro expert or a musculoskeletal expert, or your focus is in biomechanics, or your focus is in human performance and wellness, what ties us all together as physical therapists is that we look at human performance and breaking down movement and piecing it back together to improve someone's ability to function in their lives and their world. So this is a unifying theme that I think will eventually pay off with the public better understanding what it is a physical therapist knows.
Yeah.
Whether we call it a movement system expert or that we focus on human movement, as we move forward in this dialogue, we need to find language that makes sense to us, but also makes sense to other healthcare providers and the public at large, so we can better promote the profession to the public as what it is we are trying to do and where our unique skills are.
Yeah, and I agree.
We're at the very beginning, and what do we need to do to push it, I think, is to continue to communicate about it. This month's PT in Motion had a great article on the human movement system and where it came from and what our current efforts are. We have a summit that APTA Board of Directors and has asked many stakeholders within and outside the profession to come the first week in December. So that will be a big event to start gathering feedback and continuing to the conversation about how to move this idea forward and practice education and research. So the board of directors is very excited about it, and we're glad that people are talking about it, and to get consensus on it is going to require a continued conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. I like the fact that you're saying, we've got to get a common language. You know, if we amongst PTs in the community aren't speaking the same language, how can we ever expect other healthcare practitioners or our patients ultimately to understand what we're talking about? So yeah, this is the beginning, and looking forward, it is good to see that it's being started now, and eventually it'll evolve into what it will be, and looking forward to that.
Yeah, and it's a vision. So we don't expect it to be done in a year. We expect to set a framework and continued dialogue, continues to build it with a lot of professional input and the input of our colleagues who are also not necessarily physical therapists but interested in movement. So we're starting the conversation, and we expect much more to come.
Looking forward to that. All right, last question before I let you get out of here. This one is something that's near and dear to your heart because we've spoken about this together at conferences or on this podcast before, and I think it applies right here in graduation week as student physical therapists graduate, and we want to make sure they become or maintain APTA membership. Do you need the APTA, or does the APTA need you? Because it should be give and take, right? But does one need the other more, or we don't exist without each other?
I think you hit the nail on the head, Jimmy. We don't exist without each other. So just as much as I would think that every physical therapist and physical therapist assistant needs the APTA needs those individuals because we're much stronger together. We have a lot to do to promote the profession for payment and for public awareness of what we do and for policy advancements to include physical therapy so access to our services is better, but we can't do it without members. And so we need you just as much as you need us. And I would like to engage in dialogue with non-members so that we could create an APTA that best suits the needs of people who want to get professionally engaged.
Yeah, looking forward to a lot of the student members sticking around. You got me. I've been a student member for Marymount University. Marymount pays for our dues for our 3 years, make sure we get engaged. They make sure we go to at least one conference, whether it be state or national. And you got me. So you at least got one grad who's sticking on board. And I hope I can convince, and you can convince with that statement right there, of why the APTA needs you and you need them for a lot of those SPTs as we become DPTs and fresh PTs to stick around in this organization that represents us and talks about us, not only in the U.S., because we're talking to Emma Stokes from the World Confederation of Physical Therapy. You represent PTs here in America on the world stage as well.
APTA and physical therapy, the profession, is global, and your generation is connected globally. So I expect our international connections to continue to get stronger. So I'm excited about that. I'm amazed that Marymount pays for your dues. Thank your faculty on my behalf. That's an amazing
benefit
to the students that go there.
Yeah, they want to make sure we're involved and we're bought in and we're focused on that mission. So it is something cool that our university does to make sure we're engaged.
And APTA, for every student member who is a member while they're enrolled in an academic program, has the benefit of career starter dues. So the dues are in the first couple of years. We have some pilots that go out to 5 years in some chapters, but your career starter dues will be at discounted rates for the first several years after you graduate so that we can ease you into the full dues, because that's one of the concerns while you're loan indebted and getting your career started. As a financial reason, but we've also identified that once you've been engaged in the APTA for 5 years, you have been able to experience the value enough that you see the need to continue.
Yeah.
So see that, that if you're part of a section, that also is a little bit of a hook because you see the value to your clinical practice. It's exciting, and we would love to grow membership. And if anyone is listening to this podcast and you have suggestions for improvement, we're all ears. That's part of what we want to do with our communications efforts, is listen better. So
yeah. Well, I'll say
shoot
this.
Me some ideas. is.
I'll save us about the APTA president, Sharon Dunn, who's on the phone with me right now. You know, I, as a student, asked you to come on a podcast that hadn't even released an episode yet. You know, I was still kind of kicking the idea around of this podcast, and you wasted no time in saying, yeah, what do you need me to do? That, to me, shows that the APTA is listening. You know, some random student from Marymount University, me, saying, can you talk to me for an hour about, you know, anything you want, and I want to talk about the APTA, and you said, sure. That, to me, says that the highest person in that organization is willing to listen. That's a good sign for an organization as large as the APTA, and shows that V word, which you mentioned, which is value, because I always ask, is the juice worth the squeeze? And I've been to enough conferences already as a student, and I've tried to get myself engaged with a section in the sports section, and I'm in. I see the value. Displaying that is important, and I hope some people, especially students, check out the value while you're still a student and you still have a student rate, so that you can really weigh for yourself. I mean, I don't want to sell something to someone unless it really has value to them, but all I'm saying is check it out, and if you really give it your due diligence, I think you will see value, and you're going to stick around and be a member after you graduate.
Thank you, Jamie. Yeah, and your podcast has taken off. It's amazing. What, recently you had, you reached a 10,000 download milestone.
100,000.
Oh, yeah, I slided you a zero.
One more zero. Yeah, you're jipping
That's
me a zero.
Crazy. In 1 year?
In 7 months, we did 100,000 downloads, and we've been heard in 70 different countries.
Incredible.
Yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
It's
congratulations.
Cool.
That's
Thank
big. You. So, are you going to continue this?
You know.
You're not going to be a student much longer?
That is the that's the $10,000 question. That's the one question I get asked the most, and I don't think anybody's ever actually asked me on the air while we're recording. And since I always get to ask the tough questions, and I hope people answer the tough questions, I'll answer you right now. I'll be the first time to pop the news. I have no reason to stop doing this after I graduate. The only two rules are, and I've said this before, I learn something and have fun on each episode, and that hasn't failed me yet. So my plans are to keep releasing episodes even after I graduate in a couple of days.
This is great news, Jimmy, because how can you walk away from such wild success?
Yeah.
That's great to hear.
I get to talk to people like you, and I'm not trying to be a butt kisser or anything, but I get to kind of pick your brain a little bit. And where else do you get to do that than a situation like this? And the added value is I get to share it with people. And if one other person can benefit from me rambling into a microphone in my bedroom, that's great. You know, that's a win for me. Yeah, me getting something out of it is perfect. But if somebody else somewhere on the internet and downloading it through iTunes can get something out of it, I mean, to me, that's a win-win.
It is. It's fantastic.
Plus I try out new beers on each episode.
The other thing you were able to do was to get G a chair through
efforts.
Not only looking out for conversation and sharing information, but you're doing some really cool things for people that we serve, and you've got a servant heart. So
I'm glad.
Thank you for what you're doing.
I'm glad you brought that up. I mentioned that in an episode earlier this week. If you hadn't heard, we had met a student in Costa Rica on a trip, and we decided to buy him a power chair. And it just blows my mind how many people stepped up. People I've never talked to but have just listened to this, and we were able to buy this pediatric patient a power wheelchair. And I said in a meeting to the Virginia Physical Therapy Association, my chapter, I said, if this podcast does nothing else, if I never release another episode forever, we bought a kid a power wheelchair. I mean, to me, I mean, the hair on my arm stands up just when I start thinking about that, is that...
Yeah.
And I don't know if I stress this, that we're looking to try to be able to go down there and deliver it to him and podcast. I want to get him on the show when we deliver it to him and make sure he knows how to use it right. So yeah, I get real I get a little teary eyed when I start thinking about it, that of what PT can really do and what the PT community did. I mean, you rallied around one patient and you bought him a wheelchair, and I can't thank everybody who helped out. You know, gave a dollar, $5, $10, or even just shared the word. Even if you didn't have money to donate and you just shared the word, that was enough for me. And so, yeah, oh, man, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad I got to say this.
Well, thank you. You used your platform that you've built to do good in this world. But I can never say no to you, Jimmy, with what you're doing with something that was a cool idea that just took off. So congratulations.
We'll check in again soon. But before you leave, every episode is a pint. Before we're done with the pint, we do shots, parting shots of wisdom. As the class of 2016 heads out there into the real world that we've been warned about, our professor said the real world is coming. What are some pearls of wisdom you think the next generation of physical therapists, the class of 2016, needs to pay attention to?
Bring your best every day, and sometimes your best is not perfect, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But use your time constructively and give every individual in your path the absolute best that you have to offer, because when you give that to the world, it gives it back to you.
Bring your best. I like that a lot. Short, sweet, and to the point. And that's the idea of a shot, man. Just short and sweet, but it really hits you. That's good. Do your best. I like that. That says it all for me right there. Well, hey, I appreciate the time, especially on graduation week. I know the class of 2016 enjoys hearing from our leader of the APTA.
Thank you, Jimmy, and congratulations on your graduation.
Thank you.
Like what you hear? Leave us a review on iTunes. It's not like our moms can keep giving us 5 stars every day. Or can they?
This episode powered by our friends at Strive Labs and the Strive Hub platform, the all-in-one customer relationship management platform built for health and wellness, providing intelligent solutions for clinics and hospitals using their patient portal, automation tools, and content management system to design custom care management workflows that drive improved patient outcomes, automate outreach, boost engagement, find loyal customers, and close the loop to manage customer retention, identify trends, and make changes that will grow your clinic. Find them online at strivelabs.com.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.